Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with us now, Republican Congressman Leonard Lance from New Jersey's 7th Congressional District, which is basically the one that runs along I-78 from just outside Union all the way to the Pennsylvania line heading west. If you live a little north or a little south of 78, you're probably in Congressman Lance's district. As a moderate Republican, he's under a lot of pressure right now, both from the Trump and Bannon right and from the progressive left. And his seat is considered in play for next year's election, and even more so after we saw the suburban Democratic turnout in Virginia last week. We'll talk mostly about the Republican tax bills and some about the larger context of what's happening in the country. Congressman Lance, thanks so much for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Brian.
And listeners, especially if you're from the district, our phones are open as we continue to provide access for you to our local electeds at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Congressman, do you support the House tax bill as it exists today?
I do not, and I have publicly said I would oppose it, and I presume there will be a vote tomorrow, and I will not be voting for it.
And the reason?
There are several reasons, but I've been working specifically on the SALT issue, that's state and local tax deductions, and that is an important component for the state of New Jersey, as is true for New York as well, high tax states. And Brian, since the advent of the tax code in 1913, there has always been the deductibility of state and local taxes. This is by no means new. And I have read that this was even the case during the Civil War when Abraham Lincoln imposed a temporary income tax to fight the Civil War. This was in debate in 1985 and 1986, the last time there was major tax reform, and elimination of the deduction of state and local taxes was on the table in 1985 and 1986. And then eventually it was taken off the table. And I think that's why Republicans from the metropolitan region, including New Jersey and New York, are opposed to the bill in its current form.
If they fixed the state and local income tax deduction, decided to retain it, would you then support the bill?
I would look at it. There are other concerns, but I'm certainly in the forefront on this issue. And there are parts of tax reform that I favor. I favor lowering the corporate rate. I'm not sure it has to go down to 20%, but I do favor making the United States competitive with other nations. And I like doubling the standard deduction, but SALT is a very important issue to me.
Democrats object to so much in this bill, repealing the estate tax and the alternative minimum tax, lowering the corporate rate so much. You mentioned that. And ending deductions for student loan interest, ending the Obamacare individual mandate to buy some kind of health insurance. I could go on with all these things that seem to Democrats like redistribution of wealth upwards. Are there any of the provisions I just mentioned that you do support?
Let's go through the list, Brian.
Alternative minimum tax repeal?
That affects quite a few of my constituents. They're caught in it. As originally, it was designed for the top 10 or 15 families in this country, but because it's not been indexed for inflation, it has hit a lot more taxpayers. And so I might favor that, or at least perhaps modifying it. Mm-hmm. I understand that we want those at the very, very top to pay their fair share, but at least I think it should be amended to some extent.
Repealing the estate tax?
I think that we might double it. It's now about $11 million for husband and wife. And if we were to double it, perhaps to $25 million, I think that would take care of most people in America. At the moment, Brian, as I understand it, the federal estate tax affects 2 in every 1,000 estates. That's 0.2%. And if we were to double it to $25 million, and this, again, let me explain, is for both husband and wife at the death of the second spouse, if we were to double it to $25 million, it would be fewer than 1 in every 1,000 estates. And I think that would take care of most people in America.
Why exempt people, who leave estates of $12 million from having to pay tax, and only starting with $25 million estates?
Right now in this country, you can leave about $12 million to your heirs at the death of the second spouse, and that has been the law in this country for several years. And there is a concern with small businesses that sometimes the businesses have to be sold off in order to pay the estate tax. If the business is worth, let's say, $25 or $30 million, and usually on small businesses, they have been established by those who have died. In other words, it's not great inherited wealth generation in and generation out. And so I do favor raising it. But the current provisions in the House bill raise it and then after 6 years repeal it completely.
So if you were able to carve out an exemption for people who would whose children would have to close their small business because it got caught up in that, then maybe you would otherwise repeal the estate tax.
Well, I might keep the estate tax for those.
That's what I mean. Forgive me. That's what I meant.
Yeah, for those above 25. This would be a compromise. Let me repeat, it does not affect many people in this country. And if we were to raise it to $25 million, it would affect far fewer because, as you know, as you climb the ladder, there are fewer and fewer in the category.
Ending the Obamacare individual mandate to buy some kind of health insurance, are you for that?
I am a member of what's known as the Problem Solvers Caucus, and we had put out a proposal on health care reform. This is completely unrelated to tax reform. And our proposal, which was a compromise, and it's a proposal of Republicans and Democrats, was to increase the number from 50 employees to 500 employees. Now, that's obviously subject to negotiation, but the problem...
In other words, a business would not have to provide health insurance for their employees unless they had 500 employees?
Yes, that was the proposal of the Problem Solvers Caucus. And it's in negotiation, and perhaps 500 is too high, but this was a proposal that I favored that was put out by the Problem Solvers Caucus. And I'm the Republican from New Jersey on the Problem Solvers Caucus, and the Democrat from New Jersey is Josh Gottheimer, who represents many of your listeners in Bergen County. And we also repealed the medical device tax, but we stabilized the market, which is very important to many members here on Capitol Hill, including Democratic colleagues, because of the fact that we want to make sure that market is stabilized. And as you know, that's greatly in contention. Now, that proposal from the Problem Solvers Caucus...
So keep the individual mandate, because that's designed precisely to stabilize the market by keeping young and healthy people in it.
Yes, that is correct. Now our proposal is similar to the Alexander Murray proposal over in the Senate. And the reason I raise health care reform is that it's apparently now being considered in the Senate on the tax issue, and perhaps we're mixing apples with oranges, and that was not in the House proposal, but that's apparently based upon the chairman's mark in the Finance Committee in the Senate.
One other thing before we take a few phone calls, sort of on the bigger picture. What do you think of Trump as president so far? Do you think today that Trump is a better president for your district than Hillary Clinton would have been?
I supported the entire Republican ticket last year. President Trump did not carry the district. He lost it by 3,800 votes to Secretary Clinton, and I don't know where he would be today. And certainly I've had those who have come into my office who have been concerned about some of his policies. I do know that last week, Brian, in our state election for governor of New Jersey, where Phil Murphy was elected governor, the Republican candidate for governor, Kim Guadagno, whom I supported, carried the congressional district by about 15,000 votes. And so I think that's where we are. Now, I have indicated to my constituency the areas where I am in agreement with President Trump and the areas where I am in disagreement. I would imagine the overwhelming majority of the constituents in the district I serve favor continuation, for example, of the state and local tax deduction on the federal code.
But I was asking you a big picture question. Do you think today that Trump is a better president for the people in your district in New Jersey than Hillary Clinton would have been?
I think it depends issue on issue by issue. I do think that tax reform is important, but the right type of tax reform. I think that the president has done a good job on the Iran situation. I think that we should make sure that our allies in Europe meet their responsibilities financially regarding NATO. These are all the issues where I agree with the president. But obviously, regarding the district I serve, there are areas where I think we disagree with the president.
Janet in Chester Township, you're on WNYC with Congressman Leonard Lance. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me. Representative Lance, how can you call the either current tax plan out of either the Assembly or out of the Congress, how can you call it reform? It's a gift to the wealthy in this country, and Donald Trump's children certainly stand to benefit by the elimination of the estate tax. It's going to raise taxes regardless of the SALT issue, which is a penalty on blue states. It's going to raise taxes for a lot of people in the middle class. How is this reform?
Thank you, Janet, for your question.
And it will increase our debt.
Janet, thank you very much.
Thank you, Janet. And let me say it's a pleasure to represent Chester in the Congress. And I agree with what you say on SALT and regarding the debt. It does increase the debt $1.5 trillion over 10 years, and I am concerned with that. I point out that the annual deficits in the first years of the Obama presidency were $1.4 and $1.3 trillion. We were in a recession at the beginning of the Obama presidency, not of his making, but that is of concern to me as well. And the reasons you have expressed are at least in part to the reasons why I will not be voting for the bill tomorrow. I do, however, favor tax reform, and if this does not pass eventually, and it would have to pass both the House and the Senate, a conference committee report, if it doesn't pass, I hope that we can continue on tax reform because I do think we need to make our code competitive with other nations regarding business taxes, and I would like to see fundamental relief for middle-class Americans.
Dennis in Montclair, you're on WNYC with Congressman Lance. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I'm curious to know, first, I heard that the proposals anticipate taxing to the students, the recipients, the amount that they receive as scholarships or aid from colleges. I actually have three children who have ROTC scholarships. One finished, he's a first lieutenant in South Korea. And I'm wondering if the ROTC scholarships and for some colleges, the supplemental scholarships that they give to ROTC recipients, if those are going to be taxable under these proposals to the students who receive them.
And we talked about, let me just say for context, that we talked with Paul Krugman, who was a guest yesterday, about this whole category where scholarship money that students receive, stipends when they're graduate assistants, and student loan interest would all lose their tax deductibility. Congressman, where are you on any of those, and particularly the scholarships that the caller asked about?
I don't like that. I think there are all sorts of proposals looking at this piece by piece, and I certainly would not have added that to the legislation. And I think we should encourage young people to join the ROTC, and I thank the caller that his son is a lieutenant and his public service in that regard. And I don't want to nickel and dime it to death, and so I don't think that is an area where I would go, and one wonders whether it will remain in the bill in the Senate.
And those other education-related deductions, Krugman was making the case that it's a redistribution of wealth from middle and working class families who depend on tax deductions like that for their kids to be able to be upwardly mobile and go to college to the wealthy through all those other provisions. How much would you agree with that?
I certainly favor making the middle class as sustainable as possible. And a matter that was amended in committee was to continue the deduction for adoption in this country. If the Republican Party is the party of adoption, and I think both parties, Texas should be parties of adoption, and I'm not saying that the Democrats are not, but certainly if the Republican Party favors adoption to the extent that our leaders claim, then obviously we should continue right. that deduction. It was not originally right. in the proposal, and then it was changed.
So you're being explicit about the adoption proposal, that deduction. What about student loan interest?
Well, I'm explicit there as well. I would hope that could be amended, but I'm in a position where I'm voting no tomorrow,
yes.
so I've already indicated
no.
how I'm voting.
Right. One more. John in North Plainfield. You're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. Congressman Lance, I just want to make you aware. There's an AM radio station, I believe it's playing out of the Morristown area, and they're running a radio ad that's sponsored by the American Action Network. And in the content of that ad, the body of the ad, it goes on to support the proposal, the tax proposal, and it says at the end that you are in favor of it. So I just wanted to alert you to the fact that your name is being bandied about, and apparently this is incorrect, that from what I'm hearing today, that you're opposed to it. So just want to let you know that that's going on out there.
Are you sure, Congressman, do you know about this? I mean, I don't know if it's accurate, a reporting that your name is being used inaccurately.
I don't know specifically. I would imagine that I'm being urged to support the proposal. That would be my estimate. I can't imagine that the advertisement says where I am, because I have been where I am for quite some time. But perhaps the advertisement urges me to support the tax proposal.
Do you have a position on Roy Moore? I realize you're not in the Senate, but do you?
Yes, I do have a position. I don't think that he should be a United States Senator, and I hope that the seat can be preserved for Republicans. It's complicated as to how to do that. The latest iteration, Brian, that I've heard is that Luther Strange might resign from the Senate, and that perhaps would obviate the need for a special election this December, and the election would be next November. But the technicalities of how to get from here to there are really based upon Alabama law, and I'm not the expert on Alabama electoral law.
Oh, that's an interesting scenario that I hadn't heard before. Luther Strange, who's the temporary fill-in in that seat, if he were to resign, then the governor would be able to appoint somebody else as the temporary fill-in, and that would delay the date of a new election, and people would have to file for it all over again?
Well, I actually don't know whether Governor Ivey could appoint a temporary member or not. I don't know that, and I only heard this morning. It's the latest uh-huh. iteration, and it changes virtually every day. But I don't think Roy Moore should be a United States Senator. I am a Republican, Brian. I hope that we can retain the seat, but not with Roy Moore.
Last thing, how about sexual harassment in Congress? It emerged yesterday by some members that haven't been revealed by name yet. How much of a problem do you think it is?
I think it's a problem in Congress. I think it's a problem in our society. It's obviously a problem in the media, in Hollywood, in business, and here on Capitol Hill. We now have voluntary action, and I have taken it, as everybody on my staff, the training. I have taken the training. It's not very long. We do it on our computers, and I have required everybody on my staff to do it. I think we should make this mandatory. A colleague of mine, Jackie Speer from California, is introducing legislation in this area. I am a co-sponsor of her legislation. Jackie is a Democrat. I am a Republican. I think that we should address it seriously and as comprehensively as possible. And Brian, Congress should take the lead in this area, and we shouldn't be a laggard. And I hope that we address it as soon as possible.
Congressman Leonard Lance, Republican from New Jersey, thank you so much. We always appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Brian.